three times. Well, good morning, everybody. Good to see y'all here. We have, I think, just as many new time or first time visitors as we do regular folks. So welcome you guys and over here as well. Let's go ahead and open up with a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, thank you so much for another beautiful morning, another time for us to gather together as a body of believers and just seek you, Lord. We just pray your blessing upon our Sunday school hour. I just pray for just good conversation, Lord, that we would be challenged through the topic. I just pray for the remainder of the church service afterwards, the music team, and Pastor Craig as well. Lord, we just pray that you would be honored and glorified with us this morning. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Well, I kind of wrestled with a topic for this morning. I wanted something that we would be able to, in one Sunday school hour, discuss, have good conversation, but then be able to be done with without it all being kind of a sermon. And so as I prayed over it, the Lord gave me the answer, and the topic is prayer. And that's what I want to talk about this morning, and mostly because it's the one spiritual discipline in my life, in my own personal walk with the Lord, that I have a hard time making consistent practice. Because of where I'm at in life, with family and work and other ministries, at the end of the day, there seems to be very little time left to devote to anything. And for me, it's easy to go about the day constantly talking to the Lord here and there, thanking Him for this, offering a prayer request for that. And Paul talks about this kind of prayer in 1 Thessalonians, where he says, prayer without ceasing. Not that we're secluding ourselves away in some building out away from everybody, but all day long remembering who God is and constantly realizing His hand at work and thanking Him for it. But the prayer that I'm missing myself is that setting aside time with just me and the Lord, unrushed, unhurried, getting deep and personal. The kind of prayer that Daniel himself practiced, where he would go to his room three times a day and meet with the Lord. And like I said, more than any other spiritual discipline, it's the prayer seems to be the one for me that keeps crawling off the table. If I don't make it a priority, if I don't make time for it and set that that time aside, then it's something that easily gets pushed aside for later, and then later becomes tomorrow, and then tomorrow becomes next week, and then I look back and I'm wondering how I let it get so out of control. And maybe you're here this morning and you can relate to where I'm at, and maybe you're here and your prayer life is doing good. You're on a roll, and that's awesome. You can give me some pointers, and we can have some good conversation through it. But let me ask you a question. What is missing from your prayer time? And you guys know me. I get on a roll, and I keep going. So you're going to have to interrupt me with questions and comments, because I just get going sometimes. But what is missing from your prayer time? And my own personal answer would be me. My biggest problem is that it's not that I don't know how to pray, it's that I don't take the time. I haven't made it a priority. And I think that that's the overall issue for most people, is it's not that we don't know how to pray or have the tools or know what to pray for, we just haven't made it a priority and we don't take the time to do it. Like I said, I let family and work and other activities get me distracted, and next thing I know, I'm at the end of the day and I'm exhausted, and all I can think to do is not to think. At the men's retreat, we talked a lot about our nothing box, and at the end of the day, it's so easy to climb up on that box and just do nothing. But like I said, I'm not talking about the little conversations with the Lord, and I don't want to come across as cheapening those conversations, because I think they're very important. They help us keep our focus on the Lord throughout the day and realize His hand at work. But I want to talk about the flip side of the prayer coin, that deep prayer. Somebody look up for me Hebrews 10. Can I get a volunteer for that, Ron? Verses 19 through through 25. When you get there, go ahead and read it.
Therefore, brethren, having boldness to enter the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way which he consecrated for us through the veil, that is his flesh, and having a high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. And let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as is the manner of some, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching.
Thanks, Ron. Hebrews 10, 19 through 25. Yep. So as believers in Christ and saved from the penalty of death, we have a responsibility to pray. And God has given His Holy Spirit to us to groan for us on our behalf. And if we don't take advantage of it, then who is going to? So prayer connects us with the Father, but that privilege came at a great price, as Ron just read. And if we are neglecting prayer in our lives, then we cheapen Christ's death. And so how do we take advantage of prayer, and how do we become better prayers? So maybe if we explore the subject of prayer, the Lord will desire or will renew our desire to pray. So I want to ask a few questions about prayer at the end, throw out a challenge for prayer, and then if you know time allows, maybe just end Sunday school with a few different people praying. But the first question I want to ask is, what is prayer? In your own words, talking to God. What else?
Communicating with God.
Christ listening. What else? I've got some things here I want to that I'll read to you in a minute, but I want to see what you guys. Anybody else?
Fellowship
with God. I have a quote here from Warren Wiersbe on prayer. He said, "Prayer is princely work. Prayer at its best is the noblest, the sublimest, the most magnificent and stupendous act that any creature of God can perform on earth or on heaven." Prayer is the practice of being in the presence of God. It is the place where pride is abandoned, hope is lifted, and supplication is made. Prayer oftentimes is a place where we admit our failures and our weaknesses. It's a place where we're broken and we're humble and we claim dependence on the Lord. Prayer is also the time of exercising faith and hope. Prayer, in short, is a miracle in my mind. The fact that people like us can speak to the Lord in heaven, and even more of a miracle than that is that, like Tom said, He hears us and He acts on our behalf. What else is prayer? Any other thoughts? It is a privilege.
Thanksgiving and praise.
Thanksgiving and praise. Absolutely. What else? What is it? Comfort? Absolutely. Prayer, I've got just here in my notes, prayer involves the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. I need three volunteers for verses. Matthew 6:8. Sergio, I'm going to just call on you. Craig, you raised your hand. Romans 8:34. And I'll look up Hebrews 4:14 to go with that one. And then one more volunteer for Romans 8:26 and 27. Tom? Romans 8:26 and 27. Yeah, Matthew 6:8.
Not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask Him.
Okay, so prayer involves the Father. The Father hears our prayers, And even knows our needs before we ask. And then Pastor Craig, Romans 8:34.
Who is he who condemns? It is Christ who died, and furthermore, is also risen, who is even at the right hand of God, who also makes intercession for us.
And then to go along with that, Hebrews 4:14 through 16. Therefore, since we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession. For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who has been tempted in all things as we are, yet without sin. Therefore, let us draw near with confidence to the throne of grace, so that we may receive mercy and find grace and to help in time of need. So not only does prayer involve the Father, but it involves the Son, who is intercessing on our behalf and knows exactly what we're going through in every circumstance that that we face and everything that we bring to him in prayer. He's been there already. And then Tom, Romans 8:26 and 27.
Likewise, the Spirit also helps in our weakness, for we do not know what we should pray for as we ought. But the Spirit himself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. Now he who searches the hearts knows what the mind of the Spirit is, because he makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God.
That's a couple of verses that have always just kind of astounded me, that we really don't, not that we don't know how to pray, but the Spirit moans for us on our behalf and intercedes on our behalf and directs our requests according to the will of God.
What was that one, Romans
5? 8, 26, and 27. Any other thoughts on what is prayer after going over some of those things?
Mm-hmm. Or prayer. Sometimes there's something you just can't vocalize.
Absolutely.
You can't think of the words, you just cry out.
Absolutely.
Moan, groan, whatever it takes.
Yep.
You will interpret it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there have been often times where I've been to that point of I don't even know how to verbalize what I want to say, but yeah, no, good point. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Any other thoughts before we move on to the next question about prayer? Okay, so that is a little bit about what prayer is. So why do we pray? Three more volunteers four volunteers for verses. I need somebody for James 5:16. Ron, thank you. James 4:8. Nick, thank you. Philippians 4, 6 through 7. Jeff? Oh, Roberta, you have to take this last verse. Everybody else did. Roberta, why don't you look up Jeremiah 33, 1 through 3. Thanks. And just hold your place there and we'll get to him in a minute. So why do we pray? I read an article on prayer, and this article said that the average person speaks about 34,000 words a day. And it was then noted that 34,000 words, well, would take up about half of a book. So if you're looking at a book, about 34,000 words, that's how much we talk every day. And this article went on to challenge the reader and said, if we are talking enough to fill up half of a book with just full pages, half of a book every single day, how many pages would contain dialogue with God? And it was a challenging thought to me, but ask yourself, would we have enough words to fill up even a page of dialogue with God? And the thing is that God has invited us to call on him. Roberta, if you've got Jeremiah 33, 1 through 3, go ahead and read it for us. Jeremiah 33, yep, 1 through 3.
Moreover, the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah a second time, while he was still shut up in the court of the prison, saying, thus says the Lord who made it, the Lord who formed it to establish it, the Lord is his name. Call to me and I will answer you and show you great and mighty things which you do not know.
Call to me and answer me. The Lord has invited us to call on Him. And I don't want to get off on too much of a side note, but that word call there is a pretty interesting study. It isn't an invitation to whisper or whisper to the Lord or come to the Lord all shy and embarrassed. It's an invitation to urgency and intensity and excitedness and fervency. It's calling upon the Lord with confidence and expectation. But that's, He's invited us to do that. So that's one reason why we pray. Before I get through my notes, what are some reasons that you guys feel like, why do we pray?
Well, there's different types of prayers. Prayer, which comes natural to us whenever we're having a problem, it's really easy.
Help.
Yes, help me, Lord. But one of the greatest prayers is intercession. Mm-hmm. Prayer. You know, that's what Paul did constantly. And the Bible teaches, you know, if you really want to feel better, you know, and have Lord take care of you, think about somebody else and intercede, and the Lord will naturally take care of your things, put other people first.
Okay.
That's hard to do sometimes.
It is, for sure. Why else? Why else do we pray, Tom?
Worship. I know the greatest difficulty I have in prayer is to not allow other things to creep in and take over my thoughts. Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. Ron.
Two things I thought of is this one, like you said earlier, it's a great way of showing our faith in God, faith that, you know, if we come to Him and confess sins, that He is going to forgive them, and if we have things that we need to bring to Him, needs the faith that He's going to answer those prayers. And the other thing is, much like Tom was saying, it keeps you focused. What's truly important, keeps God at the forefront of your mind all day long. Like you said, not only that setting a time aside each day for deep prayer, but just throughout the day, speaking with Him and giving Him thanks for all the little things and bringing all the little troubles to Him, you know, on a regular basis throughout the day. Keeps our focus on Him.
Good. Any other thoughts?
Mm-hmm. Heart, inside out.
That's one of my things here.
I want to change something, but my heart isn't there. But bringing it to Him, I noticed when I really do that, that He changes my heart inside out.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Yeah. Well, let's read these verses before you guys steal all my points. Ron, you have James 5:16?
Confess your trespasses to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much.
The effective prayer of a righteous man accomplishes much. You couple this verse with verses in Luke 18 where we read about the different prayers between the Pharisee and the tax collector. And there's really an emphasis on how godly character is related to our prayer life. And that's one of the things I have written here, is the effective prayer is directly linked to a dedicated and obedient life, an obedient walk with the Lord. Yeah, James 4:8.
Draw near to God and He will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts.
And then I had a verse in Psalm 145 that goes along with that as well. 145:18 says, "The Lord is near to all who call upon Him, to all who call upon Him in truth." So, from those two verses, why do we pray? And Tom kind of mentioned a little bit in his point. Worship, but prayer helps us draw near to God, and in return, God draws near to us. Jeff, Philippians 4, 6 through 7.
Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. The peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus.
This is kind of what Cindy was touching on, is prayer is for our benefit. Prayer changes the one who is doing the praying, because when you're praying, you are in the presence of God. There's nothing to hide when you're in quiet prayer with the Lord. If you think about it, when we're going about our day and we're just rushing right along, sometimes it's easy to think that we're invincible or we're getting away with things, and I'll deal with it later type of a mentality. But when we get down alone with God and we confess, there's nothing to hide. And the Spirit lets us know it, and that conviction is what changes lives. In prayer, we open up, we admit our needs, our failures, and in doing so, our like Cindy was talking about, our hearts are quieted. We find that peace that God offers us once we come to Him. So prayer changes the one praying. Did I have one more? No, you all read your verses, huh? Well, I've got one for myself then. One more reason why we pray, John 14:13. Let me look it up real quick. John 14:13 says, "Whatever you ask in my name, that will I do, so that the Father may be glorified in the Son." So from this verse, why do we pray? Absolutely, to glorify God. And I think that might be one of the most important reasons to pray. When God answers prayer, it brings great glory to His name, so that the Father may be glorified in the Son. Any thoughts or comments on why we pray? Okay, we'll move on. Why do we not pray? Too busy. Time. What else? That's my biggest. Time, busy, forget. What else? Upset with the Lord? How so? It's one of my things. Okay? Fear, maybe. Fear that, you know, you came to Him once, petitioning for something, He didn't answer it the way that you wanted, and so maybe fear that He won't answer it your next prayer request.
Yeah, along the same lines, fear that He might answer it.
Fear that He might answer it. Absolutely, absolutely. That's a good point, Ron.
Sometimes if we've fallen into a pattern of sin, we feel unworthy to come before
Him. Yeah, anger. That's one of the ones I have here. Anger, I think, can be a big reason that people don't pray. Have you guys ever been angry about something and you know you should pray, and when you start praying you have to smile because you realize how petty and childish you're being? And nobody wants to feel that way, and so instead of feeling silly and getting humble and praying, we decide not to pray. Tom, you had your hand up. Lack of faith, doubt. That's another one that I have here, too.
You know, you pray for years for family members to come to the Lord, and I find myself and one particular family member that is so insulated from anything called the gospel, I just find myself having a hard time praying for them. But I know that the need is the Lord's heart.
For sure. Yeah, doubt can be a huge enemy of prayer. God doesn't always answer prayer in the way that we think it should be answered, or even in the timing that we think it should be answered, but He is faithful, and we know that He hears our prayers and He does answer them. What else, Brad?
I think it's the hardest thing to understand is the timing. You know, if you're praying about something, and you know, we're used to getting instant response on things, you know, good or bad, but sometimes you don't know, and it could be weeks, months,
yep,
down the road. road, and if you don't recognize that, it's really easy not to recognize the answer to that prayer, whether it's you like it or don't like it.
Yep.
I think that was always hard for me.
Yep.
And being, you know, anxious or angry, you know, sometimes my wife will go, oh, let's pray. And I'm like, no.
Yeah.
So I think that's the hardest time. I always feel like I need to be in the right place mentally
before you can pray.
Before I can pray, because I don't want to do it being in an angry state.
Mm-hmm.
You know. So yeah, I think
it's true, and prayer will help you get out of that angry state. But yeah, we live in a world where we want results. We want things happening like yesterday, and when prayer doesn't get answered, when we think. We can have doubt and fear that the Lord's not going to answer that prayer.
And you look in the Psalms, and there's a long progression of one will begin with anger, one begins with frustration, with fear, and they all end up in the same place.
Yep.
So that's the louder the situation, how we feel, we still need to go there.
Absolutely.
It's like how we begin.
Yeah.
I think something else that kind of pops into, like, why don't we pray? It's kind of like sometimes we'll get so absorbed into the world and stuff and then forget about God. Just kind of like, I don't know, just kind of like subconsciously get that mindset. It's like, oh, I can do this. And then, like, turns out bad or I'm like, oh.
Yeah, we definitely get busy, and like I said, if we don't make it a priority, it's something that easily gets just pushed off for later.
Another thing is not wanting to deal with the sin of my life, not wanting to come before the Lord, having examined my life, and asking for forgiveness for the things that have broken my fellowship with Him, because I know that what is written in Scripture, as I am out of fellowship with the Lord. To have the passion to intercede for someone is just a huge obstacle to you don't have God's ear because of broken fellowship.
Sure. Yep. And then you're done with the day. Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. How about the idea that we can do it ourselves? We take so much confidence in our own abilities when we're really nothing. But that could be a reason that we don't pray, is we think that we've got a handle on things and we're in control and everything will work out great. Sure. Yep. Yeah. Absolutely.
I mean, basically, the Lord wants us to don't worry.
Yeah. Cast your cares upon me. Go ahead, Ron, and then.
That's another great thing. Like, especially like, what's hard for me sometimes is the fact that when everything's going fine, you're like, well, I don't have anything to pray about. It. Praise the Lord for that. You know, go to Him and say,
yeah,
thank you, Lord, that you know that everything's going okay. No, you know, nobody's sick. Nobody, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that everything's. And that's sometimes hard, and that's when other things get.
You start losing control.
Yeah. You're the most vulnerable. That's
absolutely.
Exactly. Because when you go, hey, everything's going great.
Yeah. Yep. Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. Jim, you were going to say something? Stole your thunder? Yeah. Good. Okay.
I just read a good book just a few weeks ago And they fill the letters, and the King James Version says we should pray three times a day. But I don't remember exactly where I read it.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Yeah, prayer without ceasing is what Paul taught in Thessalonians. And you know, we can look at a lot of examples. David, Daniel met in his own room three times a day, and I don't think that there's any particular number, as long as we're keeping God in constant in prayer, and just, you know, that constant throughout the day, like Nick was saying, just praising him and thanking him and lifting up those prayer requests. Absolutely.
Something that just occurred to me as I shared the lack of faith that has prevented me from a lot of my prayer. I think really, as I just the last few minutes realized that we've been talking is about lack of love. How, you know, there is no day that everything is going to be going well enough that there's no need to intercede before the Lord.
Right.
Love for one another.
Absolutely.
And we pray for our family that are scattered all over the place.
Yep.
Just as my love grows, as my love more reflects Christ's passionate love for me and us, then I will find the prayer is going to be a natural outflow of my life, I think.
Absolutely. Good point. Brad?
I think for me, you know, the way I grew up, I just didn't have anybody to lean on, so I didn't do it or make it happen myself. It didn't happen. So I think the hardest transition for me was leaning on the Lord, because I'm not used to doing that. And so, you know, it's still that's a daily struggle for me.
Yeah.
And in learning how to just give that up, because you just get programmed. Self-survival thing. And so I'm sure I'm probably not the only one that feels that way, but it's been a tough transition for me.
Yeah.
Still something you gotta work on.
Yeah, it is hard to give up control and just trust that God's going to work it out. Yes, sir.
One thing that ties into that is the idea that we, not all of us, but many of us are problem solvers. So we already think we know what needs to happen. So
yep.
If that is our prayer, it's far more effective.
Absolutely.
We'll see the results.
Yep. And we'll kind of cover that in the next one. But any other good comments so far? Any other comments on why we don't pray?
Sometimes we're pride upon ourselves, and so we do take it upon ourselves to fix it.
Yep. Yep. Absolutely. All right. Well, let's move on, and this may be a little preaching to the choir, but how do we pray? Three more volunteers for verses. Hey, Amanda, Matthew 6, 5 through 7. Shara, James 4, 15. One more. Matthew 6, 9 through 13, Shirley. And then when you get it, go ahead and... Okay, so it's not necessarily how we pray, but how do we not pray? We don't pray as the hypocrites. They prayed loud and out in the open spaces so that everybody could see them and praise them for how righteous they looked. And their prayer was for show. It was for others to view. And earlier in that chapter, in the first verse, I think of Matthew 6, Jesus warns that there will be no reward from the Father for things done for the attention of man. But rather, so not praying as hypocrites, but rather we should be seeking solitude and a quiet time, a place where our thoughts can be clear from distraction, and we can focus on the Lord. Shara, James 4:15.
Instead, you ought to say, if it is the Lord's will, we will live and do this.
So this is tying into what you were just saying. We need to be praying for the Lord's will. We know from Isaiah 55:8 that our thoughts are not the Lord's thoughts, and His ways are much higher than our ways. And so when we pray, we should not be praying for our own agenda or our own will, but we should be praying for the Lord's will to be done. One more, and then we'll talk about it. Shirley, Luke 11:1 through 4. Oh, 9 through 13. Matthew 6, 9 through 13. Do that one, and then I'll do mine. I didn't have a fourth verse. It's actually the same thing in Luke. But Jesus gave us a great model to follow when we pray. And if you break this prayer down that He gives us here, you'll find six requests. The first three requests in this prayer focus on matters that especially concern God, the glory of His name, the coming of His kingdom, and the accomplishing of His will are the first three requests that are found. And the last three requests deal with the needs of the one who's praying. You have the necessities of life, the forgiveness of personal sin, and victory over trial and temptation. And just about every single prayer request we have will fit into one of these six categories, either for ourselves or for someone else. We can fit into these six categories. Any thoughts or questions, comments on how we should pray? Okay. So, how about a challenge to pray then? The Get Fit Company Beachbody. They sell a variety of different workout programs that are tuned to all different kinds of people. And the cool thing about them is that if you don't see the results you want in 30 days, you get your money back. But from research, how many days does it take of doing something repetitively and constantly to make it a habit? 21 days. And so it only takes 21 days of doing something to make it a habit or to make it second nature. And so Beachbody, they use the tagline, decide, commit, and succeed. They know that if you decide to buy the program, if you commit to doing the program for 30 days, you're going to see the results you want. You're going to keep the program, and everybody succeeds. Everybody comes out winning. It's a win-win situation for everyone. So for our challenge today, I want to borrow that tagline. I want to decide, commit, and succeed. I'm challenging myself to this, and I want to put it out there for you guys as well. It's a 30-day prayer challenge. You don't get any money back. You're not paying anything. But 30-day prayer challenge to start practicing this type of prayer that we've looked at today. Decide, commit, succeed. If you haven't started this already, start with one time a day. If you're already doing one time a day, bump it up, do two times a day. So the same time every day, set aside time to call to the Lord. Decide to make it a priority. Commit to this decision. Commit to getting quiet and personal with the Lord. And then lastly, succeed. I think at the end of 30 days, if you commit, I think we'll all be surprised at the results of 30 days. And I've got a couple of handouts here, different ways that you can kind of put kind of a prayer regimen together. This one's a little bit easier. It's just Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, four requests for each of those days. So you just write in four requests. Then this middle box is four extra requests that you pray for on Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, as well as this day up here. And then there's a spot, four spaces for daily prayer requests. So in essence, every day you're going to be praying about 12 different things. So if you want this, maybe it will help you get started on a good cycle. For those of you who are super Christians, not really. This is called the 100 Weekly Prayer Requests. And in essence, you're praying for 28 different things every day. That's a lot of requests. We can fill up most of this with just the prayer requests that we have given in church, outside of personal requests. So if you want either one of these, I'll leave them up here. Fill them out. Take the challenge. Like I said, I'm challenging myself to do it. And if you're going to take the challenge, let me know, and I can be praying for you, and we can check up on each other. And then a couple of good books if you're interested for a real challenge. The Autobiography of George Mueller. Very challenging book. If you don't know the story, come get the book. I'll let you borrow mine as long as you promise to keep it in a fire safe box. And this is Release the Power of Prayer. It's a shortened version of this, kind of goes through the highlights of George Mueller's life. Another book that I'm reading right now is called On Earth as It Is in Heaven. Great book, very challenging, all about prayer. Sorry, Craig. Warren Wiersbe is the author of On Earth as It Is in Heaven. And we have run out of time, so I will just I'll close in prayer. Oh, what were you going
to
say?
I just wanted to ask you a question.
Yes.
When we pray and we say in Jesus' name at the end, what does that mean?
We are praying through Jesus. He intercedes on our behalf, is what I would say.
It's in the power.
In the power of it, yeah.
Jesus is
absolutely.
The power that Christ has.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the things I heard that's real interesting, they say if you really want to find out how you're praying is finish the prayer and say, instead of in Jesus' name, say, because that's what Jesus would pray. It really puts your prayers in perspective.
Okay.
You're praying for something, you say, because that's what Jesus would pray for. You really start to realize
so he's
small things that you're...
necessarily wouldn't be praying for that deal to close. Yeah. Yeah, good comment. Thank you.
One of those scripture readings that you read, though, does say, ask in my name.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Very powerful name to be calling upon, the one who conquered death. Any other thoughts or comments? All right, let's close with prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord, I thank you again just for this time that we were able to get together. Lord, thank you for the subject and just how challenging it has been to me. Personally, Lord, I just pray that maybe it was challenging to somebody else here this morning. And I just... Lord, what a privilege it is to be able to come to you with everything. Doesn't matter what it is, whether a request or a praise or just something that's on our mind, Lord. How remarkable it is that we can come 24/7. There's no time that we've got to reschedule and to talk to you, Lord. I just thank you so much that you hear our prayers, Lord, and that you are listening and that you do answer. Lord, it's just a really neat privilege, Lord, and so I just pray that through this challenge, Lord, I just pray that I wouldn't take advantage of that great opportunity that we have just to call upon you as you've asked us to do. And Lord, again, we just pray for the remainder of our time together this morning. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
I'd like to say something. I just want to say that there's